Blog Talk Radio.
Live to see it, friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic on this kind of late starting week here, huh?
That's right. We're doing another two-show week. I guess the idea is that we are sort of rationing it to the audience right now a little bit during the summer months. But we're going to get back to the three-show week, I think, shortly. But,
with
various things going on during the summer, you know, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, people trying to wrap things up. So we did two shows last week. We're doing two this week. We're going to do next week. We'll do two. And then after that, we'll see what happens. I think we'll probably get back to three shows after that, but we'll see. Anyway, we got two great ones this week. And, of course, one of our favorite topics tonight, why dumb ideas matter. And, Stephen, we were talking before the show started. Do you feel that we're particularly qualified for this, or is it just an interesting topic?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We, the truth is, I think there's the issue of is something wise to do versus, you know, do you need to be brave? Okay, now, and I think that it comes down to that. I mean, sometimes just because something has never been done before doesn't make it a bad idea, does it? I mean, things have to be tried. We would still be living in caves, right? New things have to be tried, and someone's always going to call anything dumb, right? So
yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Time was crossing the Atlantic Ocean to come to North America was a pretty dumb idea. I mean,
oh yeah,
in terms of
it took some brave souls.
Me, pal, right? Yeah, exactly.
And I think by and large, it was folks, in England and elsewhere that didn't have a lot to lose. It was not the dukes and duchesses of Europe that came to the New World, was it? By and large,
that's right. People who had nothing to lose, right? Isn't that the line from the Bob Dylan song?
Yeah,
you got nothing,
that's right.
To lose. And so they could take the big risk with the one thing they did have, which was their life, and make something profound happen. And I think there's a lot of that risk taking. To be seen in some of the ideas that we'll be looking at here today. But there's also just a lot of, I don't know, wishful thinking. Or there's a lot of, you can get caught up in something and not really listen to what you're saying that goes on in the world. We've got a list that we'll look at in a few minutes that is the 10 stupidest ideas that made millions, which I think is part of the reason that bad ideas, dumb ideas matter. But the other reason they matter, in addition to the fact that sometimes they're not so dumb and sometimes they produce tremendous results, is that sometimes they lead to something that does. And we'll see an example of that here in just a few minutes. But I want to start with this piece I found on Business Insider. This is actually an old article. It's like from 6 years ago. So there have been lots of crazy ideas since this list was published. But this one's got enough historical perspective that you can actually see what happened in the meantime. So I kind of like that. But anyway, it's the 10 craziest startup ideas of all time. And yeah, some of them, when you hear it, you just go, really? Somebody thought this was going to be a business. I don't know if you see the list in front of you, Stephen, but the first one
would
be link your credit card to your Twitter account so everyone can see all your purchases.
In the age of narcissism and the selfie, you think, well, that's a slam dunk. I can tell you that I would not participate in Blippi, but that doesn't make it necessarily, wrong for everybody, I guess. But,
We should come back to Twitter because show of hands, how many thought Twitter was a dumb idea when they heard it, right? I mean,
well, you know, you and I were bloggers at the time, Phil, know, and we're thinking, you know, I can't get my ideas across in that many characters. I mean,
140
characters.
My titles are longer than that. Are you kidding me? I can't.
Well, it turned out that was Twitter turned out to be a good idea. People were willing to read a tweet and where you know they might pass on a longer blog post. So,
You know, one lesson about dumb ideas is that your dumb idea isn't necessarily somebody else's dumb idea. You know.
Right. Another man's, my trash idea may be another man's treasure, right? So
Well, it's proved its worth. I have to say, you know, yesterday there was a shooting incident in Denver. And you know where you go when there's local news happening anymore. I mean, I brought up the sites of the local TV stations to see if anything happened. But you know what they're reproducing is tweets, right? I mean, that's how they're covering the news. I go to Twitter because that's where the news is. But anyway, forget about good ideas. Let's stay on the dumb ones here for a moment. The next one listed there, Stephen, what's that?
Well, it's layoff space, and it's a social network for the unemployed. And I tell you, we already have a social network for the unemployed. It's called LinkedIn. And so you don't have to be unemployed forever, right? That's you're wanting network to get a job at that point. You're not interested in
Twitter, actually.
Well, no, well maybe so. I mean, any social network can be a social network for the unemployed. You can blow a lot of time on Facebook, but whatever. It's but you know, if you're interested in not being unemployed, you know, you do LinkedIn, I guess, right?
It's a good place for unemployed people to go because there's a lot of employed people on there, right, trying to improve their position in life. Turns out the unemployed don't have that much to offer each other, I guess.
Misery doesn't love company, perhaps. If you're just hanging out chatting with other unemployed people, I'm not sure how that helps your situation. So maybe, you know, I'm kind of surprised it didn't go because there's one thing that unemployed people would have a lot of, and it's time for a social network. But there's that space is being filled by other social networks not geared strictly to them. So maybe it just was unneeded. So
bad idea. A dumb idea. Game Crush. You gotta love play Xbox with hot women for 60 cents per minute. And this article didn't provide a really detailed breakdown of how Game Crush failed. So let me just suggest that there probably weren't nearly enough hot women playing Xbox.
Well, it depends. It depends on how much of the 60 cents per minute the hot women were getting. I guess, right? If they're only getting 10 cents out of the 60.
Yeah. Did it suddenly create a huge market for women to, hot women to play Xbox? Apparently it did not. So that didn't work out. What's next?
Okay, next is, I'm going to just try to pronounce this, audio. It's an extra
audio
O with it.
Audio, I guess.
Audio, maybe. Share your voicemail with the world. No.
There you go.
Again, it's sort of like Blippi. Share your credit card credit card purchases with the world. There's this concept called privacy, and I'm not interested in sharing my voicemail with the world.
Is it just me? I don't even like my voicemail. Why would I want to share it with the world? I mean, by and large, my voicemail is pretty irritating.
Yeah, okay, so it's not just that it's not just my privacy concerns. It's also the lack of interest of everybody else in the world to listen to my audio.
Yeah, bad idea. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. You know, to all the people who put time and energy into these ideas, we're having fun. We're having fun with them now. But look, they're dumb ideas. Okay.
We're not faulting you. We've had a few dumb ideas too.
That's
so,
the whole point. Yes. I could spend half an hour on my dumb ideas, but mine aren't nearly as entertaining as these. Here we go. Honestly.com. Yelp for people. This was named the worst startup.
Oh, this is awful. I hate this idea so bad.
You know, people rating people and reviewing people. Well, for one thing, social media just kind of generally allows that anyway. But for another thing, to directly do that would have just been had they launched it, had it really taken off, I just picture.
Yeah, I can just imagine the suicides, that it would have generated among, people that are already, depressed or something with getting one-star reviews. you know, Phil, you're just, you know, you're a one-star guy. I'm sorry. And
yeah, exactly. And so you go out and get your mom and other people to write good reviews, sock puppet and good reviews of yourself to try to balance it out. It's
just, yeah, that's, it's just an exercise in misery all around. I'm glad that one didn't make.
Yeah, that one shouldn't have made it. Okay,
that's not just a dumb idea. I actually hate that idea.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and speaking of one, well, actually, you know what, Stephen? I think you can give the name and tagline of the next one, and then we can just move right on from there.
Well, Agester, meet people and guess their age.
That's it. We're done. Anything else you need to say about that topic? I don't think so. Right.
That'd be about as much fun as Pregnantster. You know, is this woman pregnant or not? You guess.
That would be more fun than Agester, okay? David Letterman used to do a bit called Piece or Not a Piece, where they'd have guys from the studio audience come in, half were wearing toupees and half weren't, and the game was to guess whether they were wearing a that sounds to me more interesting than that. Especially, you know, it was always great whenever a guy – they would say, oh, that's a piece. And he'd go, no, it's my real hair. You know what the tagline always was? Oh,
what's
I couldn't
that?
Tell. I couldn't tell.
I love it.
So that was more interesting than I think Agester. That's just a bad idea. Okay, chat with a star. This was a good idea, celebrity blogging. But it turns out that they didn't need any help. And then, you know, Twitter came along and social, you know, Snapchat and, Instagram and all the rest, and you know, celebrities are pretty good at getting their own stuff out there. This guy's business idea was, we'll provide the venue for celebrities to present their stuff. And even going all the way back to MySpace, you know, celebrities figured out how to do their own social media presence. There was not a need for a special site for celebrities. They've done very well using the same resources the rest of us are using. Okay, what's next?
The next and the last one on this list, I believe, is the meat pin. Okay, and now this is a device, I guess, you know, that you would point at somebody and that you were too shy to go introduce yourself to, and a request was made online to, you know, for a meetup or something. But I tell you, as if the, you know, we need help being awkward in introducing ourselves, right? This is a new way to show that you are awkward and shy. You know, you're just kind of giving up on the plowing through it kind of deal, just go introduce yourself.
This is the mechanized way of having your buddy pass a note to that girl in math class, right? Okay, that's the meat pin. The whole problem with the meat pin, one of the many problems with the meat pin is that for it to work, the person you're pointing at would have to have a meat pin, right? And chances are the person you want to meet is a more interesting and socially adept person than you are, and they wouldn't have one, right? The only person you're going to meet with the meat pin is some other, loser who has a meat pin, okay?
Yeah, and I would guess that that just wouldn't, you know, just would not work out. And
I don't think,
you know, and so, and there's been a million .coms of, Farmers Only, I mean, you name it, of ways to meet people that work without having to come up with expensive technology that you'd always have to have on your person.
Interesting idea, though. It is an interesting idea of using a technological solution to overcome an awkward social situation, in fairness to the people who came up with the meat pin.
Well, you know, if they were going to do the meat pin now, I mean, it would just be an iPhone app. You know, you'd...
Yeah. And that might work. We'll come back to that.
The meat app is what they should call it now.
Now,
anyway,
from the same list, here are two that, if they weren't successes, they were closer. They were near misses. Okay, one of them, the first one, Stephen, it was the QCAT, a barcode scanner for the desktop PC. So this is going back many years.
Right.
And what's interesting about this is the idea of scanning barcodes is pretty sound. Right. Speaking of things we do with our smartphones, this is a thing that we do. Right. You know, we make use of this once in a while. But the desktop PC era was not ready for this. People weren't going to mass produce things with barcodes on them just for the use of people sitting at their desk. You know, the time was not ripe. The idea of all the great stuff, you know, information you can convey via barcodes was correct. But, it's like the setting wasn't quite there, was it?
Right. And once that technology is in your pocket, something like this makes a whole lot more sense. So, yeah, an idea before its time, no doubt.
Yeah. Next was Schwebe. And, Stephen, if you got that in front of you, just read the description there. I think
a personal transportation device that combines the recumbent bicycle with a monorail. Now, I was having a hard time picturing that. I'm glad there was a picture at the article that you linked to, Phil. You're hanging down below the monorail, okay,
right,
with this in a plastic, enclosure, on a recumbent bike.
Yep.
Now, it looks like it would be fun for probably the first quarter mile. I'm telling you, if you start getting hot in that thing, how do you get out of it is what I'd like to know. And what if the person in front of you just completely passes out or something, how do you get around them? I'd say spend that money on bike trails. I really do. So much better of an idea.
I've got to say, I love this one. Okay, I look at it and I just go, oh, how cool. You know, it's like a zip line, but you're not just zipping. You can go anywhere, right? Anywhere you could hang the thing, and you could be up high so you could see the scenery. You'd get some exercise. And I thought about the thing it kind of looks like an extension of is, you know, in cities like Minneapolis where they got those hamster tubes, you know, because
yeah,
the weather gets so bad in the winter, people are walking around in these enclosed tubes between buildings. It's like, hey, you can get out and you can sort of ride a bike, even in the very worst of weather, right? Because you'd be.
Well, I suppose you could link in a downtown area skyscrapers,
exactly,
any floor you like. You could have a bike trail that links 20 buildings in a circle. There are things I suppose you could do with that. But I would guess there's the problem of the weakest link. You know, this sort of trail would be as fast as your slowest bike rider, and no faster. If you're stuck behind someone that's slow, you're just stuck behind somebody slow.
Ultimately, so, I think to work, it would have to have some kind of automatic function, right? Where people are pedaling.
Well, if you fall below a certain speed, then it'll carry you along.
Right, or it might even there's a switch you can throw and it just brings everybody in, right? Something like that. I mean, there would have to be some kind of function like that. But these are both examples of, you know, the idea is out there and it got things going. And QCAT showed up in different forms. Schwebe may yet show up in different forms. And in fact, if you read the history of it, it started as a slightly different form. It started as more of a zip line. It was like an amusement park, and it was a way to move around a scenic area. So maybe not as a personal transportation device that takes the place of other regular transportation. It might not work as that, but as kind of a cool way of letting people, I love the skyscraper idea, for example, you know, being up high and moving themselves around might have some legs. Hasn't gotten much. They got $1 million grant from Google 6 years ago, and as far as I can tell, they have not progressed since then. I think they should try Kickstarter or something. I think that that they might get somewhere if they did. But anyway, it's finally. So out of this list of 10 dumb ideas for businesses, we finally come to, and I'm going to pronounce it Withings, I guess.
Yeah, I think Withings is right.
Okay, give us the tagline on that one, Stephen. Let's see.
A Wi-Fi bathroom scale that allows you to share your weight with other devices, tweet your weight, etc. Should have been as big as fail as Blippi, right?
Yeah, exactly. When we look at Blippi, we say, "Oh, no way!" You know, we look at the Audi U, we say, "No, get out of here! I don't want to tweet my credit card purchases to the world. I don't want to share my voicemail with the world." And here is a device touted as, hey, you can share your weight with the world. I'd much rather my credit card purchases or Wi-Fis go out there than this information, I think. And most people would feel the same way.
I would put it this way. If you could change the functionality to be how much weight have I lost in the last month as opposed to what my actual weight is, you know, I would like to tell the world, hey, I've lost 10 pounds. I don't necessarily want to tell them, you know, the starting weight or my present weight, right?
Yeah. Or that I gained 6 pounds over the weekend or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're in the mindset and you're in the mode of, hey, I'm serious, I'm losing weight, you know, often you do kind of want to the reaffirmation, you can get some affirmation from social media. If you can, automate that, that's pretty cool. But, obviously if you're not serious about losing weight and you're just living life and slow to gaining weight, you sure don't want that posted, do you?
Yeah. Unless you're 450 and you don't care, right? You're like, hey, let's deal with people. Here's my credit card info. Here's my voicemails, and here I am.
And here's my weight.
So,
at any rate, this idea is doing well, though, right?
Exactly. That's the thing. On the face of it, to me, it sounds as bad as any of the other ideas on that list. If you just read that first tagline, you can see where that could have easily gone the way of one of these quickly dismissed. Well, that's just a terrible idea, which makes me rethink what I've said about everything else on that list, because a little bit of tweaking and a little bit of resilience and, I don't know, maybe just a little bit of luck of timing, and this one, okay, they raised nearly $34 million in equity funding. They were just acquired by Nokia just a few weeks ago for $191 million, okay? This idea that sounds as bad as Blippi has made a significant portion of $1 billion. And why? Well, the timing is huge, right? They came on just as Fitbit and some of these other kind of personal health tracking, monitoring devices were taking off, and they expanded their line. They added watches, they added blood pressure monitors, they've got air quality monitors for the home. So they took the basic idea and worked with it, and I think they pivoted the original pitch quite a bit.
Right.
And that's why bad ideas are important, okay? Because the difference between a bad idea and a great idea, right? The difference between an idea where people just chuckle and say, well, what's the next one, and an idea that makes somebody almost $200 million is a lot smaller than you think. To the point that I think any one of the dumb ones that we listed up here could have somehow pivoted into something huge. Any one of those ideas, believe it or not, even Honestly.com or Aidster, for crying out loud, could have pivoted into a $250 million business, right? If things had gone slightly differently.
You know what? Maybe Aidster is an idea before its time, because, you know, in the age of rejuvenation medicine, which we hope is just a few years away, that might actually be fun, right? I mean, is this person 70 years old, or are they 20, you know?
Exactly.
Give that one some time. Let it simmer.
Give that one some time. It may come back. Yeah. Or the site could have pivoted to, you know, a slightly different set of things. You could, you know, guess weight and age. Ooh, there. See? Linking it right
in. And then give them a one-star review, you know?
Yeah, with the withing story. Now, I've got this other story, the 10 stupidest business ideas that made millions. I'm just going to read the list real fast, okay? This is from even earlier. This is from 2005, so 11 years ago. These are all ideas that certifiably made $1 million. Number one is the Pet Rock. Number two, the $1 million homepage. If you haven't heard of these, you got to just Google them. They're interesting. Number three is Holy Ink. I think it's unfair to call it a stupid business idea. That's just prejudice against the fact that it was monks doing it. Number four, Positive Attraction, an HIV positive dating site. Turns out there's another site that now does that, and they make pretty good money. Number five, Plastic Wishbones. Actually, Positive Attraction worked out pretty well for them. Number six, Doggles, sunglasses for dogs. Number seven, exercise cards, playing cards with exercise routines printed on them. Fascinating. Number eight, Working Vacations. Number nine, Santa Mail. And number 10, Aquariums Without the Fish. These ecosphere closed ecosystems. So, you know, you got little brine shrimp swimming around, sea monkeys basically swimming around in this ball, and you don't have to do anything. All of those ideas made at least $1 million. And when I looked for most of these, most of them don't exist anymore. Is the interesting thing. They either got acquired by somebody else, they shut down, or they were just kind of one off thing. As far as I know, the monks are still selling their toner cartridges. But Stephen, you were going to tell me, I think you had an interesting story about the Pet Rock.
Yeah, the Pet Rock. See, I was probably about 6 or 7 years old when that craze rolled through in the 70s. Okay, And everybody I knew that was a kid basically got a pet rock, okay? And it came in this little carton, and it had these instructions that were hilarious, you know. You could sick it on a bully, you know, take your pet rock and, you know, and hurl it at the bully and say, sick it, rock, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, it was hilarious instructions on, or you could teach your pet rock to stay, you know, put your pet rock in.
That's probably the most easy.
It was all tongue in cheek. Well,
yeah.
You know, so all my friends got one, and I got, then, and so I asked for one, of course, and I got one, and I was disappointed, Phil, because it was a off-brand, cut-rate pet rock, okay?
Oh.
You know, and my parents were, you know, at a loss. You know, it's a rock.
Yeah.
But it didn't come in
you
the container and have the funny book.
Yeah, you know, your dad goes out and grabs one out of the yard that he had mowed over the other day, right? I mean, here's
that's right. It was causing problems with a mower. Come on.
Yeah.
Throws it in the carton, and here you go, pet rock.
That's amazing, though. You got the off-brand pet rock, right?
Well, yeah, right. And they still went to the store and bought it, you know. I mean, it was someone that, it was not the originator, though. It was somebody, you know, that was horning in on the pet rock business, you know. Anyway, I remember being genuinely disappointed, and in hindsight, how hilarious that is.
Well, it's funny. It just goes to show you, you know, when the value is just simply
the brand
participating in that particular idea. Yeah, in that case,
yeah.
It's the brand. Or if you look at the $1 million homepage, hey, Stephen, I got a bunch of pixels on a website. I'll sell you for $1 each. You in? How many do you want? 30,000? 20,000? You know, nobody's going to go for that deal. The only reason anybody ever did it was because they were buying into the million dollar homepage, and that's probably why some of these dumb sounding ideas that worked. Right, is people just wanted to be part of that idea. There's a good article here. We don't have time to get into it today. Why the world needs more brilliant, stupid ideas on entrepreneur.com, and that keys off a book, The Power of Starting Something Stupid. I think that people need to spend a little more time thinking about dumb ideas, and in fact, I even suggest think up some dumb ideas, because once again, within every dumb idea, there is a kernel of a good idea, and probably all we need is just to spend a little more time thinking up ideas, and very importantly, once you get an idea, dumb or brilliant, because that's always going to be in the eye of the beholder, keep working it. That's what the Withings people have taught us. If you keep working the idea you have, you might just have a winner. Also, as a cautionary note, we don't want to forget the great ideas that failed, and I thought of three. You might have another one, Stephen. Webvan, the Apple Newton, Google Glass.
All three of those, Phil, are ideas before their time. Every one of
them. Exactly.
Webvan is now gone. You know, the problem with Webvan is that they were purchasing fleets of vans to deliver stuff. Right. Nowadays,
yeah,
it's handled with an app. It's a Uber style business, an Uber style business rather. Excuse me. Where you just it's handled completely with an app. You drive your own car to deliver stuff. You have a little thing you put on top of your roof so that the people you're delivering to knows that you're the right person. But there's a lower barrier to entry now because of smartphones. So Webvan was an idea before its time and not properly implemented at its time. Now it's a gangbuster business. Apple Newton, again, idea before its time. Now we got, you know, smartphones and iPads that are doing what the Apple Newton really wanted to do but was too early to do. And then, of course, Google Glass. I think it's an idea before its time. We will have augmented reality. Will be an important part of how we experience the world. It's just it wasn't ready yet.
Let me just give the pitch, if I could. We're going to have augmented reality, and you won't have to look like a complete dork. Am I right?
That's the deal. If you look like a complete dork, we need Google Glass and contact lenses.
Or at least in
a pair of frames that look like stylish frames. So that you're not going around looking like a creep that's got a video camera on everybody all the time.
Yeah, like you're recording everybody you see. Well, that's the basic idea. And I'll tell you what, this is just flowing through these possibilities makes me say we're going to pick this up on Friday. We're not going to talk about bad ideas, but we're going to keep talking about possibility because I think that's ultimately where these. Where this goes. What ideas were good? Which ones were bad? They're all possibilities, and there's a lot of possibilities out there to be realized. So this was fun talking about this. Stephen, let's pick it up on Friday. Thank you all for being with us. And until next time, live to see it.